Thank you for tuning in to the Royals in Action broadcast today. Your participation means a lot to us. The essence of this program is to educate you on how to apply the Word of God practically to bring about positive outcomes in your daily situations. And joining us for this insightful journey is R.K. Achina.
Turn with me to the book of John 16, verse 33. The book of John 16, 33. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Now, let's pause for a moment and let that sink in for a bit. Let that sink in for a bit. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. I have told you these things. What things is Jesus talking about here? He's referring to the profound instructions, insights, and teachings that he shared with his disciples shortly before his arrest. Yes, during their last time together. I have told you these things. He said these things right after the Last Supper, trying to prepare his disciples for the worst times of their lives, which are the events of his crucifixion and the challenges they are going to face afterward. I have told you these things. Now let's see something here. Let's move all the way to verse number 1 of the same chapter. I need you to catch this. John 16:1, Amplified Version. It says, I have told you all these things so that you should not be offended, taken unawares, and falter, or be caused to stumble and fall away. The verse 33 also says, I have told you these things so that you may have perfect peace. So wait a minute. What is Jesus trying to say here? Jesus is trying to say that not being offended and having perfect peace align directly with each other. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? In fact, they are synonymous with each other and cannot exist independently. It means anytime you lose your peace, you are offended. I don't think you get this. It means anytime you lose your peace, you are offended. If you are not offended, then you should have perfect peace. That's what Jesus is basically saying here. So imagine driving along completely relaxed and at peace, just like the perfect peace Jesus described in the test, right? Then unexpectedly, your calm ride, your perfect peace ride, is interrupted by some unexpected bumps and hurdles on the road. That's what Jesus meant by being offended or taking unaware of those bumps and hurdles on the road and just smashing through them. Are we clear? Now, when you hit those obstacles like that, you're definitely going to get shaken and startled. And when you get shaken like that, it means you have lost that initial calm ride. It means you have lost that initial perfect peace ride. Oh, is somebody seeing this? So, what does it mean to be offended? What does it mean to be offended? The Greek word used there is scandalizo. Scandalizo. Which means taking unawares and falter or be caused to stumble. You see, it's just like walking down a flight of stairs and suddenly your foot snags and you find yourself struggling to steady yourself. Scandalizo. You never saw it coming. Scandalizo. So it took you unaware and caused you to stumble. So we would say you've been scandalized. That's what Jesus meant by being offended, scandalized. Beloved, believe it or not, but most Christians are getting scandalized these days. Some Christians now enter a romantic relationship out of necessity these days, and not out of love, not out of choice, not out of compatibility. Amen. Yeah, Christians enter a romantic relationship not out of love, not out of choice, not out of compatibility. She really loves man B. They are really compatible. He's a good Christian. They vibe. He's kind-hearted. He's prayerful, right? She really wishes to choose man B. But the bummer is, man B is extremely broke. And a comfortable life is not guaranteed with him. So she makes a quick U-turn and marries man A, who is ridiculously rich, who promises a lavish lifestyle, who promises a comfortable, satisfying lifestyle. So Sister Maya settles with this man and gets scandalizo. Somebody, are you following? This is happening so frequently that our sisters get caught off guard by money considerations in their decisions. You know, the promise of a comfortable, secure future with rich people, it becomes very appealing these days that they marry not out of love, not out of compatibility, but out of necessity, causing them to stumble. They get scandalized. They get taken unawares and become offended, losing their peace. Are we on the same page here? You see, nowadays, spirit-filled believers, tongue-speaking Christians, are so consumed with gaining followers on TikTok, on Instagram, that they get caught off guard by the desire of, I want to be popular, I want to be approved, I want to streak, I want to snap, putting on this false image, very different from their true selves, to sort of fit in with the trends and the Gen Z culture, you know? And before they know it, they are scandalized. They are offended and taken unawares, unaware of how their desire for validation and popularity has led them astray from their once vibrant and spirit-filled lives. Beloved, the only culture we have as Christians is written in Jeremiah 7 verse 23. Forget about Gen Z culture. Forget about New Age culture. Forget about culture A. Forget about culture B. Amen. It says, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people and walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may be well unto you. That's the kingdom culture. Obeying God and walking in his ways. That's our culture. That's the Christian's culture. That was the culture Jesus came to show us. Jesus spent his entire life showing us this culture. Obeying God and walking in his ways. That's the highest life. That's our way of life. For we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who has called us. Amen. We are now living in a generation where misinformation even gets more views than the gospel. Wow. people would literally rather be misinformed than listen to the salvation message. People are so hungry to see which pastor failed, which pastor slept with who, which pastor did what. This is serious. Living in a generation where people monetize on people's downfalls. Can you believe that? Where a pastor can dedicate a whole church service talking about which popular pastor is from the Lord and who isn't. Forgetting that a Sunday service is meant to feed your sheep with the unadulterated Word of God. Not talking about things that are barely your business and starving your congregation of the bread of life in the process. You know what you're doing, Pastor? I'm sorry, but you're getting scandalized. You are caught off guard. You are taken unawares, unaware that you're distracting your congregation from the true gospel message, causing them to stumble and leading them astray, getting scandalized. So in the concept of being offended or getting scandalized, do not confuse that with falling as a Christian. You know, getting scandalized is more like finding yourself unexpectedly in the middle of something. It's like you are on autopilot, not fully aware of what you're doing until bam, it hits you and you shake your head in disbelief saying, I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking? That's getting scandalized. But falling is like realizing you've distanced yourself from God, but choosing to remain in that disconnected state. That's falling as a Christian. So it's like consciously deciding to keep walking a path of disobedience and rebellion, despite being aware that you've turned away from God. That's falling. But with scandalizo, you can still come back. You can still come back. Amen. That's why the book of Psalms 37 verse 24 says, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. Maybe you are caught off guard. You might be shaken or surprised, but that doesn't mean you are far gone from God. It doesn't have to define your path. It doesn't have to define your path going forward. Amen. So Jesus is saying here to his disciples that I'm telling you all these so you don't get scandalized. So you don't get caught off guard. So you are not unaware of those bumps and hurdles on the road. Because if you smash through those bumps and hurdles on the road, you're going to lose the perfect peace. But if you can keep your peace, you can keep from getting offended. Now, how can you keep your peace? How can you keep your peace? You can keep your peace by having your mind stayed on God and trusting in God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. The thoughts about our situation, as well as the things happening around us, is what influence our emotion to affect our actions. Those thoughts are like a recipe for how you feel and what you end up doing. It's like when you start thinking about the fancy things of life, you know, the cars, the penthouses, the Brazilian wigs, the Gucci's, you know, that glamorous lifestyle. Once you start thinking about these, it influences how you feel as a woman. You're going to feel disgusted when a broke man tries talking to you. You're going to feel disgusted if the rich guy you're dating hits the bottom and can't afford that glamorous lifestyle no more. Before you know it, it's affecting your actions. You start judging potential partners based on their bank account size rather than their character. You expect every single date to be top-notch, very flashy, you know, five-star dining, and you start passing over any man who doesn't have the right exotic car or accessory. That's what happens when you allow your thoughts to run wild on the garden of your mind. This is what happens when you don't keep your mind on God. You get scandalized, you get caught off guard, your foot snags, and you find yourself trying to steady yourself, and in the process, you lose your peace. The Bible says, a sower scattered his seeds, and some fell among thorns, which choked the seeds and stopped them from growing. This is what happens when you don't guard your mind against the scandalizo thorns, you know, the worldly distractions, the superficial desires, the worries about finances, the preoccupation with status and material gains, excessive attention to entertainment and pleasures. These thorns can choke your hope in Christ, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Without hope, your heart gets sick. You get pained. You get worried. That's why Paul said, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is a protective cover, keeping the choking thorns from overtaking us. This is peace that allows us to nurture the seeds of God's word in our hearts and ensures fruitful growth. That's how we keep our peace and not get offended, by keeping our minds on God and trusting Him. So when Jesus said to His disciples, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence, Jesus was trying to tell them that keep your minds on those things that I've told you. Keep your minds on those things that I've told you, so that in me you will have perfect peace and confidence. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. Jesus is saying that if you keep your mind on His promises, you will have perfect peace and confidence, and that collapsing business will stand. If you could set your mind on Jesus, you have perfect peace and confidence, and that cancer or stroke or whatever chronic illness you have will flee. Beloved, if you could keep your focus on the words of Jesus, that by His stripes you are healed, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and that He has overcome the world for you, that ungodly relationship will die. That shame and recurring losses of loved ones will fade away. That evil wind will start blowing you away, and every limitation and chaos in your life will be eliminated. You know why? Because as you focus on the words of Jesus, you are stepping into the shadow of victory. Day in and day out, as you keep setting your mind on His promises that He is the God that healeth me, as you keep meditating on Psalm 41 verse 3, the Lord sustains me in my sickbed, He restores me to full health. As you keep thinking about these promises and starts confessing with your mouth that yes, I believe you, Lord, you are my God that healeth me, I believe you sustain me in my sickbed and have restored me to my full health. As you keep doing this, you start living in the shadow of victory, because you are already declaring your victory over that sickness, even though you are not healed yet. God, somebody. What you are doing actually means you are fighting that sickness from victory instead of for victory. Ephesians 6:10 says to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, the underlying words here is full armor of God. Wait, which full armor of God? Are you really sure we have a full armor of God? Yes, we do. Because if that armor never existed, Apostle Paul wouldn't tell us to put it on. That full armor of God is right there within your reach. You have full access to it. It's already been provided to you. And the only way you access it is through your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, which also means the only way to access it is through your mouth. You need your mouth to speak forth the word so your inner ear can hear it. You're right. I said inner ear, not your outer ear. Not your outer ear, because hearing yourself from a speaker enters your outer ear. But hearing yourself from your mouth enters the heart. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. That's why the voices you hear from your outer ear and inner ear sounds different. That's why when you hear yourself from a recorded ear for the first time, you go like, do I really sound like that? Of course you do. That's how you've always sounded from the outer ear standpoint. But the voice that comes from your mouth is how you've sounded all along. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that the way God had already provided you with his full armor, that's the same way God has already provided you with victory. Victory that is able to overcome every trial. Victory that is able to overcome every tribulation, every problem. And it is your responsibility to hear that victory come from your mouth. That's how we activate our faith. The Bible says in John 5:4, he says, for everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? John is saying that our faith is actually the victory that overcomes the world. It is what engages the promises of God and turns them from mere possibilities into realities, into everyday realities. It is the faith that can turn your sick body into a healthy body. It is the faith that can turn your weakness into strength. It is the faith that can turn your desert into an evergreen pasture. Oh, somebody, you don't get it. It is the faith that can turn your sorrow into joy. It is the faith that can turn your fears into courage. It is the faith that can turn your silence into a song. It is the faith that can turn your financial lack into abundance. It is the faith that can turn dry bones into living beings. It is the faith that can turn your emptiness into fulfillment. It is the faith that can turn your defeat into victory. Hallelujah. Beloved, I want to challenge you. From today forward, you must harness this victory. From today forward, you must use this faith. This faith must produce victory in your life from today forward. I need you to go back home and tell that bankruptcy, enough is enough. I need you to go back home and tell that toxic relationship, enough is enough. I need you to go back home and tell that anxiety, enough is enough. I need you to go back home and tell that stagnation, enough is enough. I need you to go back home and tell that sickness, that tribulation, that trial, that addiction, that enough is enough. For my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe. I proclaim that I'm redeemed from the hand of that bankruptcy. I am redeemed from the hand of that toxic relationship. I'm redeemed from the hand of that anxiety. I'm redeemed from the hand of that stagnation. I am redeemed from the hand of that sickness and tribulation. I am redeemed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, amen. Tell you what, beloved, our words have power. Oh, our words have power. Proverbs 19:21 says, our words have power. Our words have power. When we speak, we release the power of life and death. And we can use our words to choose which situations in our lives we want to kill and which situations in our lives we want to enrich or make alive. Our words can serve as both a kill switch and an ignition. Oh, you don't get it. And today, I'm going to need you to use both of them positively. Today, I'm going to need you to use your words as a kill switch to kill that guilt and bitterness in your heart, to kill that enslaving power in your life, to kill that frustrating burden on your shoulders, to kill that cycle of failure, to kill that opposition and satanic barriers erected to stop you. Amen. After using the kill switch, you're now going to turn your attention to the ignition and begin using your words to spark good things in your life. Good things that align with God's word. You're going to start calling forth victory into your life. You're going to start calling forth open doors, blessings, greatness, overflow, hidden riches, good treasures in your life. That is what living in the shadow of victory is all about.
Thank you for joining us in this enlightening journey today. Before we wrap up, subscribe to our podcast so you're kept in the loop about our next amazing episodes. To join our community or support our ministry, click the link in the description or visit royalsinaction.org. Until next time, Royals in Action is here to remind you to embrace your destiny as a chosen channel of God's royalty. God bless you.